Well, good morning. And it's been a bit of a different morning in terms of worship and how we, I would say, normally do worship. But thank you for entering into a journey of worship. We are trying different creative ways to worship the Lord. And sometimes that will be with readings and more of a quiet type of worship. We're focusing this summer on being still and know, and so this really was a journey to be still and know that the Lord is God. And so thank you for walking that through. Tirza really put effort and prayer into the service, and so thank you, Tirza, for that part of the service. Before we go into the service, Pierre and Simon are celebrating today 45 years of marriage. They're pretty quiet. Congratulations. You didn't think we would find out of these things if you don't talk about them, so yeah, thank you. That's a testimony today. You will have gotten, I think everyone will have gotten a ribbon. Did everyone get a ribbon? Anyone not get a ribbon? Paula didn't get one. She was missing in action this morning. Yeah, you can go. Kyle will bring you a ribbon. We will need these later on in the service. You'll see the canvas down at the bottom, but we'll need that for the service. Think of this ribbon as the things in your life that may be a belief in the Lord, or you may have unbelief with the Lord. This is going to symbolize later on God's sovereignty at work in our life. So think of this as something that God is working out something in your life, and you're needing to trust in the sovereignty of the Lord in your life. And we'll talk about that later. So be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. This morning, the message is going to be shorter. We're doing more of a devotional set, sermons throughout the summer, and so this is going to be shorter and a little bit more reflective this morning. Last week, Brad gave the introduction to our summer series, and he really set the tone for us to seek rest this summer. And if you haven't listened to his message, go on the website again and listen to it. It's really good to go over it and over it for it to penetrate into our hearts. Our hearts can be a little bit stubborn at times, and sometimes we need to hear a message a couple of times. He shared out of Psalm 46, and as I was listening to the message again and meditating on it, two words popped out for me in the verse, and those two words were still and no. And Brad talked a bit about that and shared that the word still means to sink and to relax, kind of push down, said he's sinking in, relaxing, being still. We can think of this word as a meditative word, a word just to be still and not think of anything or not do anything. It can be thought of as a passive word, something that's not an action word at all. And yet this word still is really an action word, one of action. The word means to let go and give up our control of things. So it's an action. It's not just a being sitting in still and not thinking about something, but it actually means a time of examining our life and seeing what needs to go away and what needs to stay. This Wednesday during our corporate prayer, we walked through some stations of prayer. And so we walked through the stations of being still and knowing that He is our Lord. And one of the stations, we encouraged the people participating to pick up a stone. So something like this. It was similar stones, but we asked them to sit and feel the weight of the stone. And oftentimes you can, if you're concentrating, you can feel the weightiness of the stone. and we were asked to write on the stone an initial of somebody that we needed to forgive. And so we did that. We wrote, just sat there. If we had any person that we needed to forgive, or we're holding on to a grudge or something of pain, we wrote that on the stone. And then we were encouraged to wash the stone. So take some soap and water and wash it, symbolizing Jesus washing away that from us, washing away the feelings of that, the weightiness of the emotion that we may feel. And then we were told to throw it into a bucket. And it's kind of like the trash there, just throwing it away, calling us not to hold on to the weight of unforgiveness or the weight of the emotion that we feel in that place. So we're releasing the person into God's care, and it was an action of letting go. So we were still, but then we did an action of letting go. Not us holding on to things, but rather trusting in God that He alone is able to do what we can't do for ourselves. We are often burdened by things that concern us, worry us, cause us to be anxious, to be fearful of things. Being still doesn't mean we just sit quietly and think of nothing, but rather it means we examine what we need to let go of. So as you come into a greater revelation of being still, think of it as activating rest. You are called to activate rest for yourself. The other word that what stood out for me was the word no. And as I looked at the definition, even scripturally, it has a much broader meaning that we can even grasp in our English language, this word no. When we think of the word no, we often think of it as an intellectual knowledge, something that we need to learn and study and grow in, things in our mind. But this word has a broader meaning in this passage. It means, not only does it mean learning and understanding and performing, but it also means experiencing and perceiving. And those are often an emotional thing. Experiencing and perceiving is an emotional type words. So this word means to apprehend and experience the reality of God by actually experiencing who God is intimately to us. It is actually another action word, this knowing. It is an experiential word that goes beyond our intellectual knowing. It is one of intimate knowing the Lord. This word know should give us reason to pause and ask, how is God calling me or us into experiencing knowing Him and the fullness of who He is in our life? How do I know God intimately? How do I know Him? Which is an action word of pursuing after the Lord. When we put these two words together and participate in the action of these words, we are letting go of things that often do not give us rest, and we are invited into experiencing God in new ways of intimacy, which cause us to enter rest. It's because of His love that causes us to come into His rest. So let's pray for a moment. We thank You, Lord, for the ways that You call us to let go of the things in our life that we hold on to, of the things that stop us from believing the fullness of who You are. Which stops us from listening to Your voice. And we thank You for the ways that You want us to know You, both intellectually and emotionally. You want us to know You intimately in the things that You are calling us to walk in. Holy Spirit, I invite you to move in our hearts this morning and move in our mind. And I ask that you would help us to believe the fullness of who you are, a God of love. Amen. So as Tirza led us into the journey this morning, I don't know if you saw the ways of unbelief that stops us from entering into rest and into the promised land. I think of Bruce sitting up here and sharing about Moses and his journey of not listening, his disobedience with the Lord. It was interesting in that moment after he shared that. Esther, I'm going to use you as an example. Esther whispered, "Oh, thank the Lord for his grace. For his grace that covers over everything, our disobedience, the things that we don't do right with the Lord. And this simple act of grace that has brought us into the fullness of living with the Lord." Hebrews speaks of rest, not specifically in terms of a time to rest and relax and have a nap, even though a nap is often really nice to have. Mennerschlaf in Sunday afternoons, it's good to have a Mennerschlaf. If you're Mennonite, you know that word. It's good to have that to refresh us, to allow our bodies to recoup and our minds to be at peace. But here in Hebrews, he's talking about a salvation work of rest, a work of acknowledgement of the work of Jesus as our high priest. And the only way to experience true rest is believing in the sanctifying work of Jesus, dying for our sins, and in doing so, we experience grace unmerited, the grace that even Esther whispered after she heard the words of Moses. This grace of Jesus that covers our sin. Hebrews 5:14-16 reads, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The scripture that I want to focus primarily on this devotional part of the sermon comes from Matthew 11:28-29. If you have your Bibles, you can pull that out, but we don't have a PowerPoint, so I'll just read it. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This relationship with Jesus is pretty important to our rest. It is actually a matter of life and death. We can't actually enter into rest without the full acceptance and the knowledge of Jesus as our Savior. When we are walking in our own strength of knowing, without the revelation of Jesus becoming our high priest, of who that is and the meaning behind that, this Jesus who took the penalty of all our sin, we walk spiritually heavy and burdened. We may not feel spiritually heavy and burdened. As I was sitting with that scripture, you know, it's a salvation scripture of accepting the Lord. He's talking about our sin. But when I was thinking about that, you know, I know people who don't know Jesus personally, who would recognize Jesus as a good man. They would recognize Jesus as maybe a prophet, but they don't really know Jesus. the Jesus that took our sin on the cross, the only one who brought us into the fullness of being accepted by the Father. These people can be good people, very good people. They can do good works. They treat people fair. They do acts of justice and mercy, and on the outside we go, well, they're good people. And I've had friends who would say, well, I'm a good person. And the picture that the Lord gave me was the picture of a soul being weighed down in sin. And you may not even know your soul is weighed down in sin, but you can accept, you can see that you're a good person, but inside there's a weightiness of sin. Here in the passage in Matthew, we hear Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is an eternal rest. In the Message, it reads like this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and rightly. I love that translation in the Message. It really speaks of our humanity of trying to do it in our own strength. But it talks about intimacy with the Lord Jesus. We can't have full rest until we are walking intimately with Jesus and knowing who he is as our Savior. We will be burdened in that place. Jesus knew firsthand the burden of trying to keep all the laws. He knew the law. Jesus knew it. He taught it. He knew all the commands. And yet Jesus speaks against legalism and a religious spirit. Because that kind of legalism and religious spirit caused people to work for their salvation. So they did good works. They were good. They tried to keep everything just so that they could be cleansed and forgiven of their sin. The people they knew that they had to get their life together in order to be forgiven. And they had to they had to pay their dues before they were saved and cleansed. And it was difficult for the people that Jesus was talking to. Yet Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus wasn't afraid of people that came to him. He wasn't afraid of going to people, those deemed by the religious of the time to be unclean or messy people. I think of the picture that comes to my mind is the woman who had been bleeding for years, who was deemed unclean because of her bleeding issue. And if it was just a if she was able to be free enough to walk in the crowd, if there was no laws or commands that were over her, this heavy weight of the law, she would have easily been able to just walk up to Jesus and ask him. And yet because of the shame of the law and the things that the people had put on her in the picture of uncleanliness, she had to grovel on the floor on the road to try to just touch one piece of his cloth to be healed. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Here Jesus is saying, come experience true freedom. A freedom that is found not in the weightiness of the law and of religion. Jesus was saying, come to me. Come to me and experience who I am in an intimate relationship with me. He is beckoning those who are weary and burdened by their sin in their souls, this weight. And he says, come, learn from me. Learn by example. Come see how I do things. Come see how I do things. Have a relationship with me. That's what Jesus is saying in this piece of scripture. The religious rulers of the day were heavy-handed. They placed expectations on people that were far from humble and gentle like Jesus was. On the contrary, they probably were quite the opposite of who Jesus was. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he did this by relationship with people and with compassion. Isaiah 42, 1-4 reads, and this is God speaking to his son, Jesus. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Jesus, in the come to me, all you who are weary, is saying that you will only find rest in him. Period. You will only find rest in the Lord. You can look for all different things and ways to find rest, but you won't find an eternal peace for your soul until you acknowledge Jesus and who he is. You can find the physical, emotional, and spiritual revelation and rest in many other things in the world, but they are temporary. Those are the things of nature. I think it was interesting. God created nature and everything of it, and he speaks through nature, but that will pass away. That too will pass away. And everything that we put our trust in passes away until it is Jesus, because he will never pass away. He is our one true Savior who broke down barriers, who wasn't afraid of people or the unclean. There is no other option. No other option this morning. I think the scripture, this message in Hebrews, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. It's interesting that it's today. I kept coming to that scripture as I was preparing today. If you hear his voice. Jesus walked tenderly with people. A bruised reed, which is a person in pain. A smoldering wick could be a person whose faith is waning, is losing faith. These were the ones to whom he sought out justice for in his life. Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet that people flocked to hear an inspiring speech. Jesus was the one true way. He was the life. So this morning is about life and death. It's about revelation. It's a revelation of true rest for our souls. Where is your soul at? Is it at rest with the Lord? Because you know his saving grace. You know his mercy. You've accepted that. This morning the question is, do you know this rest? This rest, which is the most important rest for our life. Is your soul at rest? Or is it weary and heavy laden with the temporal things of this world? Today, if you hear his voice, the voice of Jesus, speaking to your soul, do not harden your heart, but receive the gift of true rest for your souls. We stand together. Paula is going to share testimony, but she's going to share a spoken word piece, which comes into play for our canvas. You have, I didn't know she's bringing props, but she brought props, which is good. This piece of cloth is the things of unbelief, or it could be our belief. The canvas is the weaving that the Lord wants to do in our life, the sovereign weaving where we begin to trust his sovereignty in our life. So this is not about just all about salvation. Many of us here know Jesus already as our Savior. But if you don't know Jesus and you know the weightiness, you're feeling the weightiness of your sin, the things that are weighing you down, you don't know Jesus, you don't know true rest, we want to pray with you. We invite you to come up to receive prayer. But you may be feeling this cloth. What's with this cloth, Kenny? But the Lord is weaving something in our midst with trusting in his sovereign plan for us. Sometimes we'll go through something and we're like, Lord, why am I going through this? I don't trust you because this is too big for me. But the Lord wants us to know that he is weaving something that we don't know. We can't see it. We can't see it this side until he reveals the whole picture of trusting in him. Often a weaver or somebody is doing it, we see the one side, but we don't see the other side of what God is doing. And so Paul is going to read share her testimony a little bit, and then Tears is going to come play. And I just invite you to whatever things that you may be wrestling with or holding, or it can be you are resting in the Lord and you're at peace and you trust the God's sovereignty. We're all in this together. We're not separate people off here or there, but God is weaving something of all of us together, a tapestry of the body at Trinity Baptist. And so I invite you to come and weave it into the canvas. So there's string on there. Just put your piece of ribbon on there, just to acknowledge that you may be acknowledging that I have to trust God's sovereignty in my life. Or you may be just saying, Lord, I trust you with my life. Or you may be saying, you know what? I just stand with my brothers and sisters in the things of the Lord, because we are being woven together, not separate.
Good morning. I'm going to begin by reading the poem called The Weaver, and it's by Corrie ten Boom. You probably know it. It's a lovely poem. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors he weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. In a recent turn of events spanning the past 5 years, the last three being the most difficult, I experienced several issues with my health that included unpredictable episodes of chronic pain in my hands and feet, and most recently, my hips. This past winter, I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, psoriasis of the skin that has caused psoriasis of the bone. And so I've experienced the extremes of knowing what it is to weight bear with pain, walk with a limp, and at times not be able to walk at all. I've also come to appreciate and not take for granted the ability to fold laundry, complete household tasks in a timely manner, and open and close containers as needed, and hold hands with the ones I love, because I've been unable to do so, including a long list of other ordinary things until quite recently. In the midst of physical healing that seemed to be far off, emotional healing happened, and my resolve to trust God more grew. The struggle for me from the beginning has been the sovereignty of God. It's been with me and his sovereignty, and between whether or not his sovereignty was actually a good thing. And I have to say that through the experiences I've had with physical pain over the past 5 years, something has settled in me. That argument has found rest inside me, and a place in me that has become quiet and no longer in constant battle or at war with his lordship over every aspect of my life, including ill health. Because I long battled the need for God's sovereignty to make sense. I'm a person who likes things to make sense. When pain struck not only my body, but our household, and our marriage, and our daughter, and my ability to minister, I wanted an answer to the questions of how long, and why now, and what's the point? What's the point of this? And what's the lesson so I can learn it, pass the test, and be finished? Even 5 years in the thick of it, I'm not saying it makes any more sense to me now than it did 5 years ago. But what I am more sure of, absolutely, and more certain of, is God's love and God's faithfulness, and a deep assurance that his plans, no matter how they appear to me or present themselves, that they are in fact for an eternal good. I may not see the good here, so I've come to rest knowing that I just might not see it happen here. And that he as Father and Lord, who is God, is good. He is good. I'm not saying when discomfort comes and pain still strikes that it's completely settled for me. What I can say is it's more settled than it used to be. It's more settled than it had been, right? And so part of this has come in choosing to be okay and at peace with the question marks at the end of an equation. And so, in other words, when A plus B plus C equals what? Or 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals I don't get it. 2 plus 4 plus 6 equals, that's not fair. It's not fair. I'm now more settled with not understanding the reason for the trial. I'm not looking for the reason. I'm looking at Jesus. And even in the midst of it, not being over, done, or finished, I know he's there. He's with me because of his grace. And because my question mark is I've come to understand that my question mark is limited. It's coming from a place of skewed vision and limited insight, very limited insight. But that's not the Lord's. His insight is not limited, because he sees all and he knows all, and that's good, and that is his sovereignty, right? So I'm a visual learner, and I kept picturing a loom, and I so wish that I could actually have a physical loom up here that we could see. I've only seen a loom once when I was a child at a local museum, and so I'm relying on memory, which could be incorrect, but that's what I need to rely on. And I remember as a child when seeing the person work the loom, being struck by the motion and the sound of threads being brought together to make cloth or tapestry, if that makes any sense. So I remember seeing this and being very struck by the actual sound of threads being brought together to make a tapestry, because it was rhythmic, beautiful, and harsh. That's how I remember it. And so this is what I recall it sounding like. And as I sat, I was sitting just before the Lord with that, doing that, and then I heard this. This is kind of what I heard in my spirit. And I immediately saw, and heard the nails hammering Jesus into the cross, submitted completely to the sovereignty of God the Father. And I sat with that, and I sensed the Lord say to me, Paula, as I weave the threads in your life to create, a tapestry for my glory, and it sounds to you like this. But it feels like this. What will your answer be? I felt like he was asking me, when it feels like a hammer going into your body, what will your answer be? And so I feel like that might be the question the Lord's asking us this morning. When it sounds like this, but it feels like this, what will your answer be? And my prayer personally, and I said this to Ken as we were driving this morning, I just had the thought, even so. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Yeah.
Can we stand together? Tirza, if you want to come. So this morning, if you need prayer, if you'd like to experience the Lord, you don't know Jesus, you'd like to experience him, I invite you to come up. We'll pray with you. But also, spend some moments with your ribbon, and invite you to come up during the worship time and to weave it into the the loom, our makeshift loom here, Candace. And because the Lord is doing something in our midst. And if you'd like to receive prayer and ministry, even apart from that, we'll be up at the front to pray with you. Let's enter into this part of being active in ministry for ourselves with the Lord.